Down to the wire, the Honolulu Star Advertiser and the Pacific Media Workers Guild reached an agreement Saturday that includes voluntary layoffs and furloughs, 12 newsroom positions, which include graphic artists, photographers, online news, and reporters, will be cut from the staff. Guild members agreed to defer a 1% pay raise and will give up half of their vacation days. There will be no layoffs until the end of the fiscal year on February 28, 2021. The agreement comes after the paper initially sent pink slips to 31 workers. Jolina Shiro, a reporter and co-chair of the Guild's bargaining unit, said its goal has always been to preserve as many jobs as possible.
We're always pushing furloughs instead of layoffs so we could try to help the company achieve good cost savings and keep the jobs of our members. And as things went along, it became clear that some people were willing to take layoffs and the company wanted layoffs. So we went with that, and then the goal became trying to prevent involuntary layoffs. And so because we could arrive at that with, 12 voluntary layoffs, we thought it was something that we could live with, even though it's tremendously hard to see those people go. We've lost people who have been employees for the company for decades, and all the people who were not on the layoff list decided that they would volunteer to lay off, did so so they could save the job of someone else. And so it's really been a testament to our members. If there's anything about this really painful process, it's that we found out that we have a really caring and united community, people who are willing to step up for each other. And so we have no words to say thank you to these people. Their generosity and caring and commitment to the group is just astounding.
That was Jolina Shiro, a reporter and co-chair of the Guild's bargaining unit. We also talked to Chris Conybeare of Media Council Hawaii. He reflected on the changes to our local media landscape over the years.
At a time when we have one of the most important elections facing the country, and during the time of this COVID pandemic, we need good information more than ever. And in Hawaii, and of course, actually across the country, but in Hawaii in particular, we are absolutely losing journalists. We are losing journalism. The bottom line seems to be controlling some of these decisions, and it's not even clear if they're necessary. But what is necessary is that we have journalists out there digging into what's happening and informing the public so the public can make good decisions about how they vote, about how they conduct their lives, and what they know about our community. And with this latest news, if you want to call it news, from the Honolulu Star Advertiser, it's even worse because they're threatening to lay off, or are laying off, about half of their newsroom. That means fewer people reporting, less information that we get, and it's really a disaster, especially following the whole situation we had with television news when Mr. Blangiardi basically combined KHNL, K5, and KGMB, created Hawaii News Now, and in the process laid off one whole newsroom. And then we have the situation that happened at KITV with mass layoffs there, and on and on and on. So basically, we're losing people that we need to know, that we need to have working so we know what's going on in our community.
And it was bad when we lost two papers.
Well, you go all the way, and then you go back farther, right, and we actually have one paper instead of two. So actually, starting in 2003, there was an attempt to merge KHON and KGMB, and that fell through, fortunately, when the owners of those stations at that time decided to get out of the TV business. And so that was put on hold, but Mr. Blangiardi was undaunted and went ahead and got to merge three major stations here, two network stations, and created Hawaii News Now, laid off a bunch more people. So we have had really bad news and no news for some time. the newspaper did this just a couple of years ago, where there were layoffs, buyouts, and stalled, you know, contracts with the remaining journalists. So it seems to me this is just, my view is they're using the pandemic as an excuse to do what they wanted to do all along, which basically was to cut staff, create greater profits, and to, you know, take care of the executives and the owners, not the workers.
The newspaper is rather thin these days.
I can memorize it in the morning.
And it's hard because I still, like many others, go out to get my newspaper on Saturday morning. So that's been a real adjustment, not having
it. I get up on Saturday morning and I think I'm going to at least whatever tiny little newspaper there is, it isn't there anymore.
The shrinking of our pool of journalists here in the islands, I mean, what does that say, you know, when you look across the country?
Well, the same things are happening across the country. I mean, there's a couple of bright spots. The Washington Post has been fairly successful in adding staff rather than decreasing. But many, many stories across the country have to do with basically, financial groups buying newspapers, cutting the staff to the bone, and trying to make some profit, but not by doing news, but by just handing out whatever they can. Information about just things you need to know about your school board, about zoning, about taxes, about all of those things. It's really hard to find. And if you're going to be an intelligent participant in democracy, you need information. So basically, this diminishes democracy as well as journalism and, of course, the lives of media workers who are being laid off and, who knows where they'll end up.
That was Chris Conybeare of the Media Council Hawaii. We also reached out to the Poynter Institute. Media business analyst Rick Edmonds talked to us this morning from Florida about national media trends.
It's very threatening, and financial trends were not good for the COVID-19, and that's hit advertising very hard. Print advertising, I think many places, is down 40 to 50% compared to what it was a year ago.
These cuts here locally, I know we are losing some veteran people. They've got the institutional memory. They know this town. And so that's always very difficult to see.
Yeah, and I think that's been, unfortunately, kind of almost like a practice since the need for cuts began 10 years or so ago after the recession, which is that despite all of what you just said, the loss of memory, the loss of some very talented people with good following sometimes of their columnists, to get the money that they're trying to get out, in some sense trading older, more experienced people for younger and less expensive people. It's not much comfort, but it's happening all over.
And what about the technology? I mean, I know here they stopped issuing a Saturday paper. That's online.
The papers that are left are very thin, and that's one of the arguments in favor of potentially deleting a day or two a week. But yes, that's a trend. It is gaining some momentum, and I think we'll see quite a lot more, maybe eventually to having a Sunday paper and having the rest of the week be online. I mean, that's not like next week or even next year, but I think that's where it's headed. The paper that's associated with us, the Tampa Bay Times, has always had a very strong print presence, but at least for the duration of the pandemic and the recession, they're doing only 2 days a week, Wednesdays and Sundays. But they're trying to see if people will accept, and there are some other efforts in this line, an e-edition, which is a replica of the paper format, as a not the best, but acceptable substitute. And I just wrote about it. It's kind of interesting because I think that what people like about print is not just that it's the paper you hold in your hand, but that it's well organized, that you kind of have one stop for the day, and once you complete it, you complete it. And websites a lot of times aren't very user-friendly, and you always kind of have a feeling you didn't get to the end of it or you missed something and they put it away in a dark corner before you found it.
And everybody's been, experimenting with business models.
Right.
Not everything you see online is, what you have in your hand in a morning paper.
Well, that's right, and there are a fair amount of difference in the advertising, the kinds of advertising. To some extent, I guess I would say the industry hasn't been especially disciplined about a user experience, because there can be a clutter of ads and some of these rather dubious taste, programmatic ads, and the most intrusive things like drop-downs and autoplays. So different kinds of advertising, not necessarily a plus, except, I mean, of course, they do generate some revenue at a time when these organizations are hungry for revenue.
And because of this COVID crisis, you know, we're seeing people's habits change. You know, people are being forced to order online and have their groceries delivered. And,
right.
you know, you wonder, you know, what does that mean for the grocery stores that normally would advertise and put coupons in the newspaper?
Well, grocery stores, at least here and I think other places, may be cutting back some, but they do continue to advertise. And there are a few other kinds of services, home repairs, furnishing, some of that. I mean, people who do have some money are kind of using this extra time to catch up. But overall, the advertising is depressed, and you know, there are whole categories, travel, et cetera, that just are dead in the water, and they're not going to advertise until they are a little bit more fully open.
So there's the kind of the short term, you know, as the economy bounces back, you might see then more people willing to put their advertising dollars with the newspaper or, you know, with broadcast.
Right, right. And there's I don't know that I've seen a measurement of it, but there has been some volume of advertising, corporate advertising, you know, sort of in the case of hospitals and health organizations, it's kind of a time when people are looking at that especially. But corporate messages, you know, kind of addressing the pandemic issue and corporate responsibility. So I'm not going to say that's replacing what's gone, but it's still a bit encouraging.
What are the trends are there out there that you're seeing?
Well, we spoke a minute ago about e-editions, but I would also say that the e-edition is a form of digital, and we have seen a very big increase in pushing for paid digital subscriptions. That's been a huge success for the New York Times and to some extent for other national papers like Washington Post. It's a harder sell for a local paper, and, you know, it's gets harder to ask people to pay for, say, a digital print combination when there's not quite as much local news. There is the big trend that it's been continuing and will continue, that advertising shrinks and that news operations need to be sustained by the readers. Again, of course, in the public radio sphere, you have a tradition of memberships and voluntary support, and that's just fine, but it can't be built overnight.
What about labor issues, contract issues?
Well, I think that there has been an increase in union activity, a lot of organization, and that's of news operations of all kinds. I mean, BuzzFeed, New Yorker unionized, and many newspapers, especially ones that are in situations where there's been a lot of cutting, have unionized. And then the many organizations that already had a union are pressing their members' interests. It is unfortunately sort of, there's a lot of noise there, but typically the union doesn't have much control about downsizing. That's a management prerogative. In the situation at Star Advertiser, it does seem like there was, you know, kind of a good faith bargaining to do some trading of vacation days or salary increase to preserve more jobs. So that's possible. But, you know, I just take it as, it from a very broad view, as one more signal of distress.
And I guess we're all hoping that someone's going to put out a lifeline.
Yeah, well, there are a few hopeful things. And, I mean, I do think we see some places, though this is hardly a solution, a willingness of a person or a group of wealthy people to come forward and kind of take control of the paper in the interest of the community. And we do see a lot of increases in philanthropic support for news, and that includes from the big platform companies like Facebook and Google, but community foundations that maybe didn't have journalism on their map 5 years ago are taking a look and at least supporting some of it. I do think there's some interest, philanthropic interest. There's also some willingness for sponsorships, events, that kind of thing. Now, they've been slowed by the virus, too. And, you know, overall, it's slow, but I think there is a transition to formats and some mix of digital and print right now and digital in the future that could be workable. But we're looking at smaller organizations, and we're looking at a landscape, if you will, that has many elements. We're never going to see newspapers as dominant as they once were.
And you had mentioned that in some places you were seeing community groups and philanthropic organizations stepping up.
Yes, and in addition to giving a promising new digital paper or a public interest journalism a boost, there's some willingness now to fund a reporter or fund a particular project at a for-profit paper. So in other words, to go directly to replacing some of the reporting efforts that the outlets are having a hard time financing themselves. I don't want to minimize how difficult it is and bad things may happen, but I don't think it's hopeless.
That was Rick Edmonds, media business analyst for the Poynter Institute, talking about the national landscape for journalism during these trying times.